Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. And Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Dear friends, with the presence of Christ comes peace and joy that are true and everlasting. And this is a good reminder for us on this December 27th when, frankly, all of the worldly, temporal peace and joy of Christmas is being packed up and put on sale. Yes, I suppose the cheer will linger for a little bit longer. But even on the third day of Christmas, because, you know, there are 12 of them, life has already begun to get back to normal. That giving spirit of the season is fading. All of the music trying to put you in that festive mood, well, it begins to seem kind of out of place on the radio. After all, the stores have less than 2 months to get ready for Valentine's Day. So bright pink hearts and gaudy stuffed animals will begin to replace the lights and the Christmas trees and the wrapping paper on the shelves. The world has to get on with itself, after all. And Christmas has been nice, but really, it's time to move on, isn't it? And yet, while the world packs up the holidays, our liturgical calendar reminds us that there is still more Christmas to be unpacked, more joy to realize at the coming of this King. God be praised that Jesus is not so quick to be done with Christmas. For just when we are taking a breath from this whole month of December, Jesus in our text this morning is just getting started with all of his work. And what he brings with him are eternal peace and lasting joy in a world full of sin and suffering. This is a really beautiful and rich text before us. It's full of hopeful expectation and God making good on his promises. And there is a ton that we could talk about in this text. I mean, just before it, Jesus is circumcised on the eighth day. He sheds his blood even as an infant in order to fulfill the law. We could even talk about the significance of the eighth day, the first day of the week, the first day of the new creation, the first day of Christ's resurrection. We could talk about how in the eyes of the world, this holy family looks utterly poor and weak. For they bring the offering of the poor, a pair of pigeons or two turtle doves, when in fact they do bring the priceless, spotless lamb, who would himself be the once-for-all sacrifice, accomplishing more than all the blood of that temple could ever accomplish. We could talk about the temple itself, how the true king comes to his own temple even as an infant, how when he grows he will replace that grand temple with his own bloody death and glorious resurrection. And we could talk about all of those things, and we'd probably be here till Valentine's Day. But I'd really like to focus just on one thing, that with the presence of Christ comes true joy and lasting peace. And we can see this through the eyes of Simeon. And it's really good that we have Simeon's perspective before us this morning, because coming down off of the Christmas season can feel a little bit like a child coming down off of a sugar high, right? Everything seems great and wonderful, and then on December 26th, it's like we hit a wall. It's fun doing the whole Jesus is born thing when there are twinkly lights and the wafting of pine trees in the house and the joy and laughter of family members as gifts are exchanged and traditions are relived, and it's all good. But when all that wears off, the celebration of Christ's birth can feel a lot less exciting. Not to mention, there are those for whom this Christmas was really not even full of worldly joy and peace. And for them, all of the superficial manufactured joy and peace, well, they can see right through it. It doesn't feel like the happiest season of all when you're spending Christmas Eve in a hospital room watching your mother die. It's not the most wonderful time of the year for the father who doesn't know how he's going to provide for his family. "I'll be home for Christmas" is not the song you want to hear when you have an estranged loved one who hasn't been and probably won't be home for Christmas. And so in the midst of such false joy and manufactured peace, it's really good that we have Simeon to show us these things unseen, to keep on unpacking for us what this true gift of the season is. We're not told a lot about Simeon, not his age, not anything about his family, nothing about what he does for a living, but we are told that he's righteous, that he's devout, that he's longing for the consolation of Israel. You see, Simeon was looking for the Messiah, the one promised of old, the branch that would come from Jesse's stump, the king who would sit on David's throne forever, the one who would come to vindicate his people. And I suppose in that regard, Simeon is kind of like a lot of other Jews of his day. But Simeon is different. His joy and his hope is ramped up and made certain for him because he has special information. God had told him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon heard this word of God's promise and so knew for sure that without a doubt he would see Jesus before he died. It'd be nice to hear a word like that, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to hear from the Lord when his final fulfillment of his promise will happen. I mean, not only that, it'd be nice to hear any word from the Lord that would tell us why things are going the way they are. In a world packed full of sin, on days when you and I contend with our sinful flesh and lose, in situations where God seems anything but present, we long for a sure, certain word of promise from God. But not only that. I mean, if we're honest, we don't just want a word of promise from God. We want evidence, don't we? We want proof that that word of God is actually working and working according to the way that we can see with our eyes. If only I could see some kind of progress in my life. If only I could see that I'm getting my sin under control. If only I could see some kind of fruit that this word of God is actually doing something. Well, then I'd have true joy and lasting peace. No, God's bare word of promise, it's not sufficient for our flesh. We're kind of like the little children who wanted, you know, the remote control car for Christmas, and then we're disappointed because we get socks instead. We want something more, because frankly, the Word of God, it seems too weak. We would rather have things cling to things that we can see with our eyes, the things that God gives. They frankly look kind of foolish and weak. And so again, Simeon's words are good for us to hear because he sees what we cannot see. He refocuses our attention to where true and eternal joy and peace are found, and even in the face of death. And again, to our human eyes and ears, his words seem kind of foolish, right? How can he say what he says? Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word? And in the context, he's not just saying, hey, now I can leave the temple and go have supper tonight. He's talking about dying, departing from this world, something the Apostle Paul says is our great and terrible enemy, a result of our sin. And yet Simeon can say that he can do it in peace and according to the Lord's word? I mean, doesn't he know? Doesn't he know how great and terrible this enemy is? Hasn't he ever seen how much death ravages the world around us? It's anything but peaceful, and it's all because of sin. But Simeon says he can depart in peace precisely because of one thing and one thing only: salvation from sin. In the midst of a world that is not so great, a world that is not getting better, a world that we have wreaked havoc on with our sin. I mean, talk about weakness. The salvation that he's talking about is this 40-day-old baby? This gift from God? I remember when I was a kid, I would be looking forward to this one present that I wanted all year long, and I'd ask for it over and over all year long, and I'd be so happy to get it on Christmas. And then, you know, by the end of January, someone would ask what I got for Christmas, and I'd struggle to remember this thing that I couldn't wait to have. Not Simeon. No, 40 days after Christmas, he still knows what this gift is. This weak and foolish gift, but the gift of salvation. He scoops up the infant Christ in his arms. He holds his own salvation in his hands. And with the presence of Christ comes eternal joy and lasting peace. And so Simeon unwraps this gift for us anew as we need this constant reminder of what the presence of Christ means. See, he can see what we do not want to see by nature. This is the salvation which God has prepared, salvation that is certainly for his people Israel, but which is also for the whole world. Salvation which comes in incredibly weak places: the lowly manger, a bloody cross, where Jesus would die for his enemies, for you and for me, and for Simeon. And you see, that salvation in Christ, that gift of God, that joy and peace, that is present even in the weak and suffering places of your life, where we use not our eyes to see the promises of God, but our ears. That word is enough. And so Simeon's joy this season, and ours, finds its voice not in these holiday greetings or these gift exchanges, not in the fun, sentimental songs that we sing, not in the good cheer and love for our fellow man, although that's all good stuff. But it's stuff that will fade. No, our joy finds its voice in this wondrous stanza of praise and blessing. Simeon certainly can depart in peace because the Prince of Peace has come for him. And he comes for you as well. The greatest gift that you could ever receive. Especially because it's the one you least deserve. And so come and receive this gift of Christ. Take up in your hands the same Christ that Simeon did this very morning. For he is present with you even today to give you lasting joy and eternal peace. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.